KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. Join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. It's a privilege now to talk with Josh Holland. He's the International Director of the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team, and he's just returned from Ukraine. Josh, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely, Jim. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Well, and I said before we started recording here today that I know your heart might be hurting just for what you saw in the short time you were there in Ukraine. Can you tell us what's going on as of this date?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure many of your listeners would resonate. It hurts all of our hearts and makes our hearts heavy for all of us as we look on TV and see the destruction, see the families being torn apart, the uncertainty, just the casualties en masse. But it is different after being there in person, and I certainly returned some weeks ago after having spent a little bit of time there. Very impacted, very moved, and I don't think I'll quite frankly ever be the same after just my brief time there and some of the encounters that I had. But it is a tragic, desperate situation, as we all know. And we're certainly honored as the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team just to try to play a small part and help in any way that we can, as we have crisis-trained chaplains that are just offering emotional and spiritual care, sharing the love of Christ as God gives us those opportunities.
Josh, I can't help but ask you, and I'm not going in any particular order here, but I can't help but think about the chaplains, and you talk about they are trained to handle this kind of crisis situation, but there a lot of people involved in the ministry, in the rapid response team, and with Samaritan's Purse and other things that the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association is involved with. Your people are volunteering. They're putting themselves in harm's way to go love people.
Right. Well, it is a very different type of, we call these responses deployments, and I've been myself on dozens of deployments to different parts of the world with earthquakes and tornadoes and floods and fires and hurricanes. But this one is different in the middle of a war zone. There's no doubt about it. And those chaplains and those doctors and nurses that serve alongside of our sister organization, Samaritan's Purse, as they're setting up mobile hospitals throughout the country of Ukraine, there's no question they have to feel called by God to go, and trusting in God's protection and ultimately knowing that he has all of our days numbered, certainly not diminishing the risk of going into a country like Ukraine during this time. But all of our volunteers and workers and those that are alongside of the mission in any capacity go through a very thorough security training and briefing on situational awareness. We have security that we bring, and there's security locally there. There's intelligence that certainly briefs our leadership about any incoming danger, and we have plans in place to evacuate quickly and rapidly if the need is there. So certainly our leadership is taken very seriously, the safety of all those involved. But you're right, it clearly is something that many people have to just feel called to do to go into a situation like this.
Josh, to give us a better picture maybe, and a lot of us understand the world through the lens of our own neighborhoods and things, can you compare a typical Ukrainian neighborhood with maybe one in the United States?
Yeah, I think before all of this started, I mean, life was very much like you'd find it here in the United States. People just go to work or the store or church, community centers. But obviously now things have very drastically and quickly changed. It's a very unnerving, kind of unsettled feeling there. I was in Lviv, for example, and that's a relatively safer part. There have been rockets and other explosive, you know, situations that have happened there since I've returned. But even in a relatively safer part like Lviv, it's just an eerie feeling. There's really nothing open. Nobody's going to school. You know, there's the basic stores like a grocery store that's going to be open, but it's just really people are just prepared because, of course, as we see all over the news, you never know what the next target will be. And so, yeah, I personally witnessed a lot of tragic things. I mean, women and children, for example, by the train load getting off train stations that I saw, and, you know, their husbands have been, you know, stayed behind to defend their homes, and people are just fleeing to safer areas. And, of course, many millions now have left the country altogether. But it is a very just desperate situation and scene.
What are some of the immediate needs of the people in Ukraine that our listeners might help you with?
Well, without sounding too cliche, it really is true. Prayer is the most important thing we can do. And I think I have the advantage of having, you know, met some of the people there and have these images impressed in my mind, which spurs me on to pray daily for the situation there. And I'm sure many of your listeners already are doing that. But if not, I would just encourage all of us to make it intentional to just pray for God's peace, for an end to this conflict, for protection of life. And certainly that's the most important thing we can do. But I'd say there's a lot of wonderful ministries. Our chaplains are blessed to be doing great ministries. Samaritan's Purse, our sister organization, is not only has these mobile hospitals set up in three different places in the country, but they're doing some distribution and helping churches. But there's a lot of other great ministries as well. I would just encourage your listeners to just research, you know, organizations that might be taking donations of supplies or monetary contributions. It's an overwhelming situation, and it almost feels like, what can we do? But we can all do something. It starts with prayer and then just assessing where the greatest needs are. And I'd invite your listeners for more information to check out our website, billygraham.org, for a lot more detailed just information on what exactly our chaplains are doing at this time.
BillyGraham.org, great resource. Go find out exactly. I love that suggestion. Do you work with churches, businesses, and individuals that want to support your work?
Yes. I mean, our organization, we have several thousand volunteer chaplains that have been trained and that are ready to deploy, anywhere around the world in a moment's notice. But certainly any organization that's interested in learning more or supporting in any way, we'd welcome those conversations and would be grateful for them.
And tell us a little bit more about your interaction with Samaritan's Purse. You've already mentioned that they've set up hospitals, three of them in the country so far, and you actually are bringing physicians. They just people from the United States, or are they from people all over the world?
Samaritan's Purse, of course, it's our sister organization. Franklin Graham is the president and CEO of both the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and Samaritan's Purse. So on these types of responses, we work very closely together. But, yeah, they're are doctors and nurses from different parts of the world, actually, that are involved with these medical responses and that have signed up to go and serve in Ukraine. And it's a very moving thing to see these doctors and nurses and pharmacists, rearranging their lives, basically, to go and into a situation like this, into a war zone, and love on people and serve people in the name of Jesus. And it's really what opens the doors for our chaplains to be able to have spiritual conversations as these people are attending to physical needs and healing through modern medicine and procedures. It really opens up the doors for our chaplains just to offer to pray for people, to listen to people, to be a shoulder to cry on, literally. And then as those conversations, as the Lord leads, our chaplains are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we've seen a number of salvations already, hundreds of people prayed with, and I think as of today, 44 people saved, placing their faith in Jesus Christ, and we're so thankful for that.
Josh, a lot of the people that are from Ukraine have lived most of their lives in, I don't know if the word would be a godless society, because the communist governments that they've grown up with have not allowed any religion. That would be non-Christian or Christian. So is it a different, I guess I wonder how they receive the gospel message and whether it's something that they're craving to know.
I think we are seeing that people are craving that. And I think in any situation where there's crisis and destruction and devastation and just a sense of hopelessness, unfortunately, that's what it takes for all of us to some degree as human beings to recognize our need for God is when the whole world has been turned upside down, as it were. And so people that maybe never really thought about spiritual things now, having lost everything they thought was secure and not knowing if they'll ever find their home the way it was, being separated from families, it's really opened up a door for people to start asking spiritual questions and thinking there's got to be more to life than this. And so God just has a way, not that he creates these things, but we live in a fallen world and war happens, and it's as tragic as it is, God can even use this, I think, to spark a hunger in people spiritually. But there are, I would say, to your point, I mean, yes, many of these people were raised, you know, in a godless communistic age, but the Church of Jesus Christ is alive and well in Ukraine. There's many, many hundreds and even thousands of churches that that are preaching the gospel there, and I had a privilege to be in some of those churches when I was there and meet some pastors and bishops and key leaders in many different types of churches. And I'll say that as I walk through some of these churches, they're packed to capacity with refugees, people that are trying to get to a safer place, and the church is feeding them and housing them and sharing Jesus with them. And so I was very much encouraged to see the faith of many believers in Ukraine.
Josh, I'd love to talk with you, if we could take a quick break. I'd like to come back and talk to you about just your own personal commitment and being involved in ministry as the international director of the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team. Can you stay with us for maybe one or two questions after the break?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to.
All right. We'll be back with Josh Holland right after these messages. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Finding the right school for your child is more important than ever. A school where kids are loved and kept safe, where Christian principles are upheld, and a strong academic foundation is built. Calvary Elementary, a Christian school seeking to nurture the academic, physical, spiritual, and social needs of your student. Now accepting students grades kindergarten through third grade. Details at calvarychurchelementary.com.
A contradiction in Genesis? This is Ken Ham, author of the eye-opening book, 6 Days and Church Compromise. Many people claim Genesis chapters 1 and 2 contradict each other, but do they? Genesis 1 gives us an overview of creation week with just a few verses on the creation of man on day 6. But Genesis 2 gives us the expanded account of day 6. So what's the problem? Well, you may hear that Genesis 1 says animals were created before Adam and Eve, but Genesis 2 says it was after. This is an example of a supposed contradiction. When Genesis 2 was translated into English, some translations chose to say, "The Lord God formed every beast of the field," but others correctly translated it as "had formed." There's no contradiction.
Plan your visit to the full-size Noah's Ark in Northern Kentucky when you go to our website at AnswersRadio.com. Find resources for the whole family at AnswersRadio.com.
Knowing God from Harvest with Pastor and Evangelist Greg Laurie.
John 14, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." You might ask the question, well, what will we know in heaven? You know, people have a lot of weird ideas about heaven. They think we're just going to sit up there floating around on clouds, you know. And they think we'll be somehow oblivious in heaven. Listen, you will know more in heaven than you know on earth. You'll know more. I have a granddaughter. Whenever she likes something, she'll say more. So if she eats something and it's good, she says more. If I tell her a story and she likes it, she says more. The other night I was putting her to bed and I think I told her 8 Bible stories because she just kept saying, more, more. We're working our way right through the entire Bible. It was pretty good. I like that. More. The Bible says in heaven you'll know more. You'll be in the presence of God. Listen, your love will still be there, but it will be even stronger. A stronger, sweeter, pure love. There's no break in our love then, and there's no break in our thoughts. Death breaks our ties on earth, but it renews them in heaven. Listen, heaven is your destination if you believe in Jesus.
You were created to know God. Find out how to begin a relationship with Him by going to harvest.org. Just click on Know God. Already know God? Invite others to learn more about what it means to follow Jesus. Answers to questions about the Christian faith, online courses for Christian growth, and video messages from Pastor Greg Laurie can be found at harvest.org.
This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. Join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
We're back on ABQ Connect with the International Director of the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team, has recently returned from Ukraine and shared with us on our first segment some of the tragic events, but also some of the victories and some of the commitments to Christ and just the way the Rapid Response Team is encouraging people. Josh, how did you come to this ministry?
Well, I've served with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association in a different capacity since 2005, and actually for about seven or eight years, I served in a department within the ministry called Crusade Ministries. Of course, when people hear Billy Graham, that's really what comes to mind, are the large evangelistic crusades and stadiums and arenas where altar calls would be given and thousands of people respond to the gospel message. But Franklin and of course, Will Graham also, who's Franklin Graham's oldest son, Billy Graham's grandson, Will, as well as his father Franklin, preach all over the world. And so part of what I did for a number of years was helping work with churches to set up those events. But I've been in with the Rapid Response Team with this department for about 6 years now. And it's just a precious ministry. I've, as many of your listeners have, I've gone through things in my life, what you'd call crisis events. And so what this ministry really, this arm of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association is all about is sharing hope in crisis. And it doesn't have to be a war like the Ukraine or, you know, a natural disaster like a hurricane, but we all know people in crisis and this ministry is just really all about just equipping people for how to share God's hope in life's most difficult times.
Well, Josh, our audience, are the people that listen to KLYT, they're listening to world-class Bible teaching, they're listening to talk like this, and their intention is to learn about charitable organizations doing work in the state of New Mexico and around the world, and they do live generously. I will tell you, our listeners live generously. Mm-hmm. So I want to repeat again what you told us earlier. People can go to find out about the Rapid Response Team and other work that you're doing. They can go to billygraham.org. Of course, you've already mentioned some of your sister organizations, Samaritan's Purse and others. Most of our listeners are so involved with collecting Christmas boxes for Operation Christmas yeah. Child with Samaritan's Purse. That's an amazing thing in and of itself. So, Josh, we appreciate your work. I know our listeners be praying for you and your leadership team and your chaplains that have put themselves in harm's way. So we so much appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, it really was an honor. Thank you so much.
And Josh, we look forward to seeing the day when you've worked yourself out of a job, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. we wish we wouldn't need to do this, but unfortunately the disasters just keep coming and we've got to be ready to share hope when they do.
Well, Godspeed to you, my friend. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Jim.
Take
God
care.
Bless you.
Bye-bye.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.